Now turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. I want to read the final verses of the chapter, so please come with me to this portion, Mark 12, beginning to read at the verse number 38. Mark 12 and the verse 38, down to the close of the chapter. Let's read together. Let's pray that God will speak to us tonight, even as we read, and that we'll know His power and His help in this time around the Word. Mark 12, verse 38, "And He said unto them in His doctrine, Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." And God will bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. You will notice that three times in these verses the word treasury is employed by the Spirit of God. That word is used only one other time in the New Testament. It's in John 8 and verse number 20, which is a very interesting and informative verse with regard to the word. John 8, 20, in that verse we read, "These words spake Jesus in the treasury as He taught in the temple." And we notice from John 8, 20 that the Lord was in the actual treasury on the occasion in view there in that particular chapter and verse, John 8, 20. And so it's very clear from that the word treasury refers to a specific area within the temple in which the money of the Lord's people was given and was also kept. Now the word treasury is made up of two parts. One part means treasure, as we might expect, and then the other part of the word means guard. And so the treasury that's spoken of in these verses was actually a safe and a guarded place in the temple used for this purpose of the safekeeping of the offerings of the people. There was in former times a very great man of God called Alfred Edersheim. He was a missionary to the Jews in Romania, and he wrote a book about the temple, a very famous book, and a tremendous book in terms of how he writes about the temple in Jerusalem. And in that book, he mentions the treasury. And this is what he says concerning it. He says, "The court of the women, which covered a space of 200 feet square, all around it ran a colonnade, and within it, against the wall, were the 13 chests for charitable contributions. These chests were narrow at the mouth and wide at the bottom, shaped like trumpets. Their specific objects were carefully marked on them. 9 were for the receipt of what was legally due by worshippers, the other 4 for strictly voluntary gifts." And it is to this particular arrangement within the temple that the verses that we're going to consider tonight actually refer. The point in view is that on the day of which Mark writes here, people in the temple of God went into the treasury, into that area itself, and into one of the receptacles available. And remember, we've just read that there were a number of them. They cast their offerings. Now, one of those who cast her offering into whatever receptacle it may have been, is mentioned in verse number 42 here as a certain poor widow. This lady is nameless, and from a certain perspective, she is, in a real sense, a very insignificant person in terms of the women of whom we read in the Word of God. We read of many outstanding women in Scripture, and they're named, and many illustrious events are described for us concerning those women. But here is this lady. We can almost visualize her. She's a certain poor widow. Perhaps she comes very quietly along into the house of God that day. This actually happened, for the Lord tells us it happened, and he saw her, and he cast his eye upon her, and so on. And she makes her way into the house of God and right into the treasury. And maybe very quietly, she threw her two mites, as we're told here, into whatever receptacle, as I say, it may have been. And so while she was nameless and perhaps not very significant with regard to fame, yet in the Lord's estimation, she acted in an outstanding way. Indeed, in such a fashion that she stands on the page of Scripture as an example to all believers. Look at verse 43. It says, "He called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury." Notice there in verse 43 those words, "He called unto him his disciples." He brought the disciples from wherever they were, and he had them look at that woman and view in their own minds what he goes on to tell them. And so this means that the Lord placed a very, very high premium on what that lady had done that day, as is described for her in these words. And so that means that you and I have much to learn from this poor widow. I don't know whether you've ever heard a message before or not on the widow and her mites. I have to confess, I've never preached on it, but just a few days ago, the Lord laid it upon my heart for the prayer meeting tonight, and I want to speak to you from these verses about this widow and her two mites. We'll look at it in three ways. Number one, the widow and her ministry. The widow and her ministry. And we must see this point. Now, what she did that day was a real ministry unto her God. That is an important observation, not because I bring it to your attention, but it underlines that all believers are privileged to minister unto the Lord. If in no other manner, of course, certainly in this issue of giving of our substance to the Lord's cause. And there are two things about the widow and her ministry I want you to notice and underline in your minds. It was a spiritual ministry really. This account of the widow is actually also recorded by Luke. Only these two, Mark and Luke. And in Luke 21, the first few verses, you have his account of the widow and what happened. Luke 21 verse 4, the Lord actually uses there an important phrase in his reference, as far as Luke's record is concerned, to these offerings that were being made in the house of God at that time, and of course, continually by the Jews as they came to the temple. In that verse, Luke 21 verse 4, we read of the offerings of God. And we know what that means. Offerings made to God is what it means. The actual Greek word for offerings is a word that also means gifts. And you will find in Luke 21 verse 1 that it's translated that way in verse 1. It says in that verse, "He looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury," or casting their offerings into the treasury. So the word signifies that which is a gift, but it's a gift to God. It's something that's given to God. That's what a gift is. It's something that is given. And so the offerings of God, that's a very important phrase in the context of our study tonight as we think about the widow and her ministry. And so the sense of this phrase, the offerings of God, is that our giving, while it is of a literal and a physical kind in terms of giving money, Yet, first and foremost, it is spiritual. It's a spiritual ministry because we are giving to God. That really struck me. The offerings of God. Again, I simply tell you that what that means is giving to God. Imagine that. Giving to God. Have you ever thought deeply about that? That's why we must see this as a spiritual ministry. The Lord says the silver and the gold are mine. The cattle on a thousand hills are mine. The Lord doesn't need anything. The Lord could finance his work in his own way, whatever way he pleased to do it. He has chosen to finance his work through his people, through their offerings, through their giving. That's fine. The Bible teaches that clearly from cover to cover. But think about this phrase, the offerings of God. And it brings home to us that when we give, and it could be financial, and of course it should be as the Lord blesses us, but it's wider than that, the offerings of God. But just taking the expression, it's a reminder to us that we are those who have been set aside to be ministers unto God in various ways, including what the widow done. And we must see our position here that is brought out by this kind of language. The offerings of God. It is underlining that this woman and all of the Lord's people who give to God, who come to bring their offerings to God, are a people who are a company of spiritual priests. That's how we are to see this lady. She came to the house of God. She gathered there with others. And she brought her offerings to God, her two mites. And in doing so, she was acting as a New Testament priest, a spiritual priest, bringing to God her offering and what she wanted to be set aside for his glory and for his honor. And we have this in the New Testament, the great doctrine of the priesthood of believers. It's a fundamental New Testament truth in relation to the child of God. 1 Peter 2. There we are told that we are a royal priesthood. Verse 5. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. There we are, a holy priesthood. And then verse 9, a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood in the sense of our union with Christ, who is the great King Priest over all things. And therefore, since we're united with Christ and we come to minister to God as a people who are a priesthood, we are a royal priesthood because we are in union with the great King Priest as we make our offerings unto the Lord. And then a holy priesthood, holy in the sense of the work that's involved, ministering in things that are sacred and that are holy. And it does involve many areas of service. I don't have time tonight to take you through all the different spiritual sacrifices or offerings that we are to bring to the Lord. But we know some of them. The sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of prayer and even the preaching of the word is shown in Romans 15 to be a spiritual sacrifice. But there are more than that. And of course our giving financially to the work of God. Because being in this position of being a royal and a holy priesthood, when we come to bring the offerings of God, we are engaged in worship. That's the key. As I think about the widow and her ministry, she's in the temple to worship. Now, I don't know about the other people who were there that day. In fact, in the context here, from what the Lord says in verses 38 to 40, undoubtedly there were many in that temple that day and at many other times who were not there to worship God, but were there merely in a pretense of worship and in hypocrisy and so on. But this woman is there to bring to the Lord whom she loves and whom she serves her worship. And in her worship, she brings what are called the offerings of God. She presents to him that spiritual sacrifice of giving unto his glory and to his honor and his praise. And so the widow and her ministry, we see it is a spiritual ministry. But then, of course, it is a sacrificial ministry. And that's the dominant thought in all that happened that day. That's the element that the Lord observed and that the Lord underlines that she gave sacrificially in her offering to God. Verse 43, we've already read that verse again. This poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, it's not that the Lord rejected what the others had done in their giving. Rather, he highlights the point that there are times at least for the child of God to go beyond, let's put it that way, to go beyond the basics that the Lord lays out so clearly in the Scripture, in terms of tithes and offerings. There are times to go beyond that basic level and give in the manner in which this woman gave that day to the Lord in the offerings of God. Notice the terms there in verse 44 that help us to see how this was a sacrificial ministry. It says there, she of her want. And that may also be read, her destitution. This woman was really a destitute, the Lord is telling us. A woman who was poverty stricken. In Luke 21 verse 4, he writes it this way as he records this little story, her penury. So it's translated in Luke 21 verse 4. And the word means poverty. And so we're noticing here her situation, her circumstances. She's a woman who's stricken with absolute poverty, penury, destitution. And yet she gives at that moment all that she actually had. That raises a question. What was it that motivated that sacrificial kind of ministry? And what is it that motivates and should motivate you and me as we seek to give to the Lord in whatever it may be, whether it's financial giving or whatever? What is it that should motivate us? Remember where the woman was. She's in the temple. What is the temple? What was the temple in Jerusalem? It was first and foremost the place of sacrifice. It was in that house, and in the precincts of the temple, that day by day the other offerings of God were brought. The sacrifices were raised up and placed on the altar, and they were slaughtered, and their blood was shed, and they were burned in the fire as a symbol of the great sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in that atmosphere, it's in that very setting that she comes and she gives everything that she has, because this woman knows that there's a person even on the scene. And I would have no doubt that she knew who Jesus Christ was. There's a person on the scene who has gone to give his all and lay down his life and sacrifice himself for her sins. And therefore all those sacrifices that would have been going on in that temple, even that very day, she knew they were pointers to the Messiah. She knew that they were typical of his death. They were a reminder to her of the sufferings and the death and the agony and the great sacrifice of her Lord. Reminders to her of how he was going to suffer. And here's this poor widow. And she's a sinner like all the rest of us. And she comes and she gives sacrificially as well as giving in the way I've mentioned already. She gives sacrificially because she's giving for the sake of the one who will give his all for us. Let me tell you, men and women, that is what is to motivate us at all times. It's not that we come to the house of God or we want to go or we feel we need to go because of duty. or necessity. That's no good. It's because we're going to offer up our worship to the one who poured out his life's blood. And therefore we cannot do less than come like this dear woman, the widow and her ministry, and minister in that spiritual, sacrificial manner unto the Lord in the house of God. Oh, this is a very, very important passage as we think about the scene that's here and the details that are before us. The widow and her ministry, what a reminder to us. She's in the house of God. She's ministering there. It's where she wants to be. And that's where every Christian needs to be. That's where every believer must be if we're going to fulfill the will of God. Is to come and gather as we are unable to do so and meet with the Lord and pour out our hearts to Him and give to Him our worship and our praise, whatever we care to mention in terms of worshiping the Lord. This is what it's all about. So there's the widow and her ministry. And then secondly, there's the widow and her master. The widow and her master. Look at the opening words of verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And those are words that certainly underline one who is the master. And so here is the widow and her master. Christ sat as the master of the assembly. He's described in the Word of God in this way over and over again as the one with all power, all authority, who's over us, whose eye is on us. He sees us when we come into the house of God. He sees how we serve Him, how we minister to Him, right in the precincts of God's house. Whatever we are offering up to Him. I mentioned the sacrifices of praise and prayer and so on, and our giving. The Lord knows all about it. The Lord is your master. The Lord takes cognizance of all that you render to Him. Or perhaps, to put it another way, what is lacking in your service or in your ministry, He sees it all. Remember how He spoke of the temple. My Father's house. In John 2 verse 16. On that occasion when He said those words, my Father's house, He was grieved with those who had made His Father's house an house of merchandise. And then in verse 17 of John chapter 2, we find that there the record is given, His disciples remembered. Later on they remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And in that way, He reveals Himself as the master of the house of God. And He showed at that time, at the beginning of His ministry, when He purged it, He cleansed it, He drove out those who were abusing the house of God. The Lord is the master. And here is the widow. And she knows this. And I believe with all my heart that she knows His eye is on her. She's doing this as unto the Lord. She's ministering as one who knows that His eye is upon her, the eye of her master in His sovereign majesty comes out in this incident here as He beholds the giving of His people. In His omniscience, He knew what everyone was giving. He knew. There's the master. And in her giving, therefore, there was the element of submission. Doesn't a master require submission and also deserve submission? Notice what it actually says here about this lady in these verses. Because we're told in verse number 44, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now that word living, got to understand it properly. It can be read livelihood. And what the word signifies is, she put into that offering that day what she needed that very day to keep her alive. That's the sense of the word. It's not talking about tomorrow. It's not talking about next week or next month. It's talking about that day. what she needed for that day, the two mites. And therefore, the Bible tells us that what she required for that day through the means of those two mites, she denies herself of it. And she casts it into the offerings of God. In submission, she gave it to the Lord. She gave it to Him. What did that mean? That meant, obviously, that she did it in faith. Let me tell you, how is faith truly seen? It's seen in obedience. It's seen in submission. And I would say to you tonight, without any hesitation, that this woman had been moved by the Holy Spirit to do as she did. There can be no other explanation for her spiritual and her sacrificial act. I believe that the Lord pressed this upon her soul. It was a test placed upon her to give what she needed that very day to buy something, to keep herself alive. And yet she willingly gives it up to the Lord. And I have no doubt in saying that she did that in faith, believing that the Lord was going to meet her need. And I tell you something, brethren and sisters, and I don't know how it happened, and it's not recorded for us, but undoubtedly that day the Lord made provision for that woman. Because He will never see His seed forsaken or His people begging bread. And yet the evidence is here by inference that in regard to the widow and her master, she comes with humble submission to Him, and she gives Him all that she has, all that she needed for that day. And she did so in this manner, and therefore undoubtedly the Lord took care of her. Just think of the fact that she was a widow. And we're told there, in verse 42, she was a poor widow. A poor widow. Do you know the word for poor is the same word as translated beggar? In Luke 16, for example, the beggar who died and went to glory. You can't really get anyone more poverty stricken than what's in view in this kind of language. And so, she was a widow. But that means something else. Not only was she in this state, she had no husband. She's a widow. And yet she comes and she does this. You know why? Because the Lord says in His word, and maybe she was thinking about this verse or other verses like it. The Lord says in His word, the Lord relieveth the widow. Psalm 146. And I have no doubt, as I said earlier, I have no doubt that that day the Lord relieved this dear woman with regard to her need. Somehow or other, the Lord would have met her need. The Lord is no man's debtor, or no woman's debtor for that matter. And therefore what we're shown here is not only the widow and her ministry, but the widow and her master. It's all done for Christ. It's done for her God. And therefore, she's teaching you and me the lesson. Obey God, do the will of God, surrender to the Lord, submit yourself to the Lord, and He will look after you. And that's a vital lesson in days like these. It's a vital lesson for all of God's children in connection with this congregation. There comes a point where we have to trust the Lord to take care of us. And He will take care of us as we minister to Him. As we go through with God, as we seek to keep moving forward even with regard to our return to worship, we are ministering to God and God is going to take care of us. And that fact should deal with our fears. Yes, we take measures and we do all that's necessary. That's very important. But in the final analysis, we still trust the Lord to look after His people and to keep us. And then finally tonight, just a closing thought here, the widow and her memorial. The widow and her memorial, because it is found there in those verses, the Lord's words about her in verses 43 and 44. It says, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they all did cast into their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. This poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. That is some statement. No doubt there were multitudes there that day. We're told in verse number 41 that the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. So in what sense did she give more than them all? And that, you see, is the standing memorial that the Lord has placed in the page of Scripture with regard to this dear lady. She gave more. In what sense? Well, more in proportion to her means. The Lord does not mean that this, what she gave, had more value than all the rest that the others had put in. Not of all, we understand that. But she gave more than the others, than all the others, because what she did showed more love. That's the point. More love to the sacred cause, and more self-denial, and of course even more sincerity than the others and what she actually did. And brethren and sisters, that's what the Lord requires of you and me. It's not merely the amount of praise that we offer, or the amount of prayer that we bring up, or the amount of money we give to the Lord's work. We have to give according to what the Lord has given to us. And some can give more than others, therefore. But what needs to imbue our ministry for the Lord and what we do for the Master is that it is given to Him with the same spirit and in the same love and self-denial and sincerity as this woman exhibited that day. I think of the words of David. I believe in a real way they illustrate this point, and with this we come to a close. 2 Samuel 24, verse 24. And many of you will know the story here in 2 Samuel 24. It's also found in 1 Chronicles. It's that time whenever David numbered Israel, and that was a wrong action on his part, and the Lord chastised him and chastised Israel as well, and then all begins to settle, and David builds the altar and so on, and he goes to the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite, and there he raises up an altar and he makes a sacrifice. But look at the words in verse 24 of 2 Samuel 24. And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. You see, Araunah wanted to give David the altar, or the wood for the altar, and wanted to give him the animals for sacrifice. David said no. He said, if I'm going to really worship God, I can't worship God with something that doesn't cost me anything. And that woman had the same spirit. It cost her. But the Lord left a memorial in Scripture for this woman that she gave with that sincere, loving desire to glorify her Lord. And what a lesson there is there. That whatever the ministry might be, whatever the work might be, we do it with all our hearts, and we are willing even for it to cost us something. Let me ask you, friend, does your service for the Lord cost you? Does it bring to you a situation where you sacrifice whatever it might be? May simply be sacrificing time, sacrificing yourself with regard to other things. And we have all so many things that demand our attention. Are we willing? Are we willing? Have we got the spirit of this lady? Because that's what the Lord notes. And concerning that, he leaves a memorial in his own word. That person gives more than anybody in terms of the spirit, the attitude, and so on. May the Lord write these words in our hearts. What a wonderful lady she was. What a lot she has to teach us with regard to these matters. And may we learn of the Lord tonight and his word. Could we just bow for a moment's prayer before we come to announcements? Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt bless this word to our souls. We confess, O Lord, that we are ashamed as we read of this dear woman. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us to be a people who die to self and die to comfort or whatever is required of us, that we might do that which is according to thy will and for thy glory, and that we might demonstrate love and sincerity and a true heart. O Lord, come and save us, we pray, from all that would stand in the way of really ministering unto Christ. Be with us, O God. Be with the work of God here, and be with your own dear people in these days, and use thy word, Lord, to stir up all our hearts. Those in the building now, those who join with us by webcast. O God, we pray that there will be a stirring of souls, and thou wilt move, thou wilt visit, thou wilt give help even from the throne above, and move in power upon all of our hearts. And so abide with us, we pray, and bless us as we continue now in thy presence. Help those who will lead in prayer tonight, and give the power of the Holy Ghost as we wait upon our God. We'll give thee all the praise and all the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name, and for his sake and his eternal praise. Amen.